ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్యం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతి వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. బిఫోర్ రిసైటింగ్ దిస్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం, విచ్ ఇస్ ద వెరీ మీన్స్ ఆఫ్ కాంక్వెస్ట్, వన్ షుడ్ ఆఫర్ రెస్పెక్ట్ఫుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ ఆన్ టు ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ నారాయణ్, ఆన్ టు నారాయణ్ రిషి, ది సుప్రమోస్ట్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్, ఆన్ టు మదర్ సరస్వతి ద గాడెస్ ఆఫ్ లర్నింగ్, అండ్ ఆన్ టు శిల వ్యాస్దేవ్ ది ఆథర్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత్ సేవయా భగవతే ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. బై రెగ్యులర్ అటెండెన్స్ ఇన్ క్లాసెస్ ఆన్ ద భగవతం అండ్ బై రెండరింగ్ ఆఫ్ సర్వీస్ టు ద ప్యూర్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ దట్ ఈస్ ట్రబుల్సమ్ టు ద హార్ట్ ఈస్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ కంప్లీట్లీ డిస్ట్రాయిడ్ అండ్ లవ్ ఇన్ సర్వీస్ ఆన్ టు ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ విత్ who is praised with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 25. Uchista lepan anamodito dvijayi సాక్రాస్మ భుంజే తత్ అపస్తా కిల్బిసా ఏవాం ప్రవర్తాస్య విశూద చేతసస్ తత్ ధర్మ ఏవాత్మ రుచి ప్రజాయతే. ఉచిస్తా లేపాన్ అనుమోదిత ద్విజయి సాక్రాస్మ భుంజే తదపాస్త కిల్బిసా ఏవాం ప్రవర్తాస్య విశూద చేతసస్ తద్ధర్మ ఏవాత్మ రుచి ప్రజాయతే. ఉచిస్తా లేపాన్ అనుమోదిత ద్విజయి సాక్రాస్మ భుంజే తదపాస్త కిల్బిసా ఏవాం ప్రవర్తాస్య విశూద చేతసస్ తద్ధర్మ ఏవాత్మ రుచి ప్రజాయతే. సకృష్మ భుంజే తదపాస్త కల్పిసా ఏవాం ప్రవర్తాస్య విశూద చేతసస్ తద్ధర్మ ఏవాత్మ రుచి ప్రజాయతే. చిస్తలేపాన్ అనుమోదితో ద్విజయ సాకాశం పుణ్య తదపాస్త కల్పిసా Svam pravartasya visuddha chetasas dharmaiva atma ruchi praja. Vaishnavis? Uchistale panamodito deja. Pasta kelpisa. Evam parvartasya visuddha chetasa tadharma eva atma ruchi prajayate. Uchi stale par anumodhita vijaya. Sakasma bunje tada pasta kelpisa. Nam pravartasya visuddha chetasa tadharma atma ruchi prajayate. Uchista lepana namodito dvijayi. Tada pasta kelpisa. Evam pravartasya visuddha chetasa tadharma maruchi prajayate. Uchista lepan. The remnants of foodstuff. Anomodita. Being permitted. Dvijayi. By the Vedantist. Brahmanas. Sakrat. Once upon a time, sma, in the past, bunje, took, tat, by that action, apasta, eliminated, kilbisa, all sins, evam, thus, pravartasya, being engaged, visuddha chetasa, of one whose mind is purified. That particular. Dharma, nature. Eva, certainly. Atma ruchi, transcendental attraction. Prajayate, was manifested. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Once only, by their permission, I took the remnants of their food, and by so doing, all my sins were at once eradicated. Thus being engaged, I became purified in heart, and at that time, the very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to me. Please repeat after me. Once only, by their permission, I took the remnants of their food, and by so doing, all my sins were at once eradicated. Thus being engaged, I became purified in heart. At that time, the very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to me. Purport. Pure devotion is as much infectious in a good sense as infectious diseases. A pure devotee is clear from all kinds of sins. The personality of Godhead is the purest entity. And unless one is equally pure from the infection of material qualities, one cannot become a pure devotee of the Lord. The Bhakti Vedantas, as above mentioned, were pure devotees. And the boy became infected with their qualities of purity by their association and by eating once the remnants of the foodstuff taken by them. Such remnants may be taken even without permission of the pure devotees. There are sometimes pseudo-devotees and one should be very much cautious about them. There are many things which hinder one from entering devotional service. But by the association of pure devotees, all these obstacles are removed. The neophyte devotee becomes practically enriched with the transcendental qualities of the pure devotee, which means attraction for the personality of God, its name, fame, quality, pastimes, etc. Infection of the qualities of the pure devotee means to imbibe the taste of pure devotion always in the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. This transcendental taste at once makes all things distasteful. Therefore, a pure devotee is not at all attracted by material activities. After the elimination of all sins or obstacles on the part of devotional service, one can become attracted. One can have steadiness. One can have perfect taste. And one can have transcendental emotions. And at last, one can be situated on the plane of loving service of the Lord. All these stages developed by the association of pure devotees. And that is the purport of this stanza. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pastatada Satarine Om Jnanam Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakya Chakshunum Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Before I start speaking today, I would like to seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas present here in order to be able to speak something for the benefit of myself and all of us who are trying to practice devotional service under the footsteps of Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada. So before I start, I just wanted, as we know, this chapter is the appearance of Narad Muni. And Narad Muni appears to give instructions to Vyasadeva. And this is an ideal situation of perfect guru and perfect disciple. And we are reading today from shloka number 25. And I just wanted to recap the first 24 shlokas. There were 9 very important points that have led us to the current shloka. So, as we know, one of the first instructions on this chapter, which is text number 8 by Narad Muni, is Shri Narad Vacha Bhavatanu Dita Prayam Yaso Bhagavato Amalam Yena vaso na tusyate manyeta darsanam kilam. Shri Narad said, "You have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless." So this was one of the prime instructions in this chapter that was given by Narad Muni to Vyasadev. So, some of the things, or some of the text discussions that have so far transpired are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as the objects of self-realization? That was one of the shlokas that we read earlier in this chapter, where Narad Muni straightforward points out to Vyasadeva that is he satisfied? Because so far, whatever Vyasadeva had done or had compiled was identifying with the body or the mind as the objects of self-realization. Then another very important point was brought up by Narad Muni, that unless you broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead, you will not be satisfied. And if he is not satisfied, Vyasadeva, and as you know, when we are sitting on this chair, we are representing Lord Vyasadeva. This is called Vyasgaddi. So, if Vyasadeva himself was not satisfied, then the message to the general populace, especially in Kali Yuga, which is uncivilized and seeking direction constantly, will not be broadcast properly. So another point that was brought up was, although this literature may be imperfectly composed, but it is highly beneficial for the revolution of the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. That was another very important point that was brought up earlier in the chapter. and then led to fruitive activities are naturally painful from the very beginning and naturally transient if not utilized for devotional service. So that's a very important point, that fruitive activities from the very beginning are painful and very transient in nature, because we know that the general notion is that through fruitive activities we gain happiness. But happiness is temporary. So it is transient. And if not utilized for devotional service, it is worthless. And people are generally inclined to enjoy and have been encouraged what Narad Muni was telling Vyasadeva is that so far whatever you have compiled, people are generally inclined to enjoyment. And so far whatever you have compiled is only encouraging them in that way in the name of religion. So we are already naturally inclined to lord over material nature. And so Narad Muni was very clearly also telling Vyasadeva that all you have done is to encourage that. And that was before the spotless Purana that Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled, that we read from. And then eventually Narad Muni says that you should encourage taking up of devotional service, because even if one falls down in this process, there is no gain or loss. And then starts with his past life and association of pure devotees. And that leads us to this shloka for today. So I just wanted to give the chronology of events leading to this. In the Svetashvatara Upanishad, there's a very nice 638, very very good shloka. Yasya deve parabhaktir yata deve tata guru tasya te katitahi artha prakasante mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So, as we know, Guru Krishna Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. Without the kripa or without the mercy of Guru, as we read from the purport, Srila Prabhupada, and what Narad Muni is saying by his own practical example, it is impossible to progress in devotional life. We have 12 Mahajans, and Prahlad Maharaj is regarded as one of the Mahajans. And Prahlad Maharaj gives us a very important instruction. He states that the whole training is to control the senses, and the most powerful sense is the tongue. And Bhaktivinod Thakur gives us the description of the song that we sing, Sarira Vidya Jal Jadindriya Thai Kal. Jadindriya Thai Kal. This body is the encagement. Is the encagement of what? It's the encagement of the soul. So we are in the prison of this material world. We are very happy to keep this body very comfortable without knowing the aim of life. Sarira Vidya Jal. This is a Vidya Jal, Srila Prabhupada comments. This is the greatest ignorance. It's a network of ignorance, Srila Prabhupada comments. It's a network of ignorance. Tare madhe jivate. Jivate. Jiva means the tongue. So, jivate lo maya sudur mate. It is very greedy. To control the senses begins with controlling the tongue. And the best thing is to eat Krishna prasadam and to chant the holy names of Krishna. And if you look, Prabhupada has also commented that if you look at the way our anatomy, the anatomy of the body is, you see that the tongue is up and then the rest of the nine gates, you know, are in line. But this is very important. It starts with the tongue. Shravanam. That's why the nine processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, starts with the process of Kirtanam. Kirtanam, which also means, is the tongue that is used to eat Krishna Prasadam. Sarira Vidyaja. That's why we sing this. So, as we can see with Narad Muni, immediately he had the remnants of who? Not pseudo devotees, but which devotees? Bhakti Vedantas. Not just any devotee. Now, it's very important for us to also understand a very important point, which is also reiterated by Lord Chaitanya himself. Sadhu Sangha Sarva Sistri Koi. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoi. The verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. Just by a moment. So we can see that example in Narad Muni himself. Just by taking a moment of prasadam, immediately he felt the transcendental bliss. We are so lucky. We are taking association of Srila Prabhupada's Vani daily. But we are so misfortunate. Why is that transcendental love, rasa not coming? So we'll speak about that. Srila Prabhupada mentions also that very clearly in his purports. But we are so much privileged that we are sitting here in the presence of Srila Prabhupada and relishing this nectar. So, very important that we also understand something very important. Why is it that this science can only be revealed through a bona fide Bhakti Vedanta? Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 25, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrita Muda Ayam Nabi Janati Lokamam Agyam Avyayam Yoga Maya Samavrita. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by what? My internal potency. And therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. The Lord is covered by His yoga maya potency. So through the mercy, Guru Kripa Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij, through the mercy of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, this knowledge is imparted. Because we know more merciful than Krishna is Krishna's devotee. He's more merciful than the Lord. And that's why the Lord came Himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with hands raised as a devotee. When He was, the Lord Himself manifest as Krishna, the last instruction He gave was, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto Me. But how do we do that surrender? That process was never explained. All we are told was just to surrender. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, Jiva Jago, Jiva Jago. He actually brings and opens the storehouse of knowledge without seeing who is the recipient, what are their qualifications. So he comes as a devotee. So, it's very important for us to understand what is bona fide spiritual master. What are the qualifications of a bona fide spiritual master? In the nectar of instruction, Upadeshamrit, the first shloka is Vacho Vegam Manasakrodha Vegam Jiva Vegam Udara Pasta Vegam Etan Vegan Yo Isaheta Dira Sarvam Apinam Prithivim Sa Sisya. What is the instruction of a guru? What are the qualifications of a guru? What is the instruction given to us in Upadeshamrita? Is that a sober person who can tolerate the urges to speak, the mind's demands, the actions and the actions of anger and the urges of the tongue, belly and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. You can see that anatomy of the body. And what is the other qualification of a guru, or of a bona fide guru? Yare deko tare ko Krishna upadesh. Their business is speaking about Krishna. Don't be fooled by the so-called bona fide gurus of today. So, very clear instructions are given to us, who is a bona fide guru? What are the symptoms of a bona fide guru? What is the vani of a bona fide guru? And that becomes an acharya, leading us by example. And we are privileged to have the Vani instructions for the second generation like me, who have not met Srila Prabhupada, and for Prabhupada's disciples sitting here, who have actually had the association. In fact, just a moment's association has made them devotees, and they are continuing to practice 41 years after Srila Prabhupada has still left the planet. That shows you the potency of a pure devotee. So, who approaches a bona fide spiritual master? Srila Prabhupada also comments in his purpose. Who approaches a bona fide spiritual master? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, one who has understood the futility of both the material and spiritual worlds approaches a spiritual master. Because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maha says, one who has understood about the futility of trying to go to the higher planetary systems and then coming back and going through the cycle of birth and death again, are candidates who seek a bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master broadcasts the sound vibration from the spiritual planets called Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada very nicely says what a spiritual master does. He broadcasts the sound vibration from the spiritual planets. The inhabitants of the spiritual planets, headed by the Supreme Personality, are certainly not deaf and dumb. They are in constant communication through unlimited transcendental bliss and knowledge. And the spiritual master can transmit this sound vibration and of bliss and knowledge to his disciple. This is Srila Prabhupada writing. In his purpose, he's giving us Amrita Vani. Nectar and nectar. You're just amazed at the amount of information Srila Prabhupada has given us. We think that the spiritual world there is nothing happening, that there is no communication, and we know that every step in the spiritual world is a dance, every word is a song. And who is transmitting that to us? Is the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada continues to say, just as a radio station broadcasts mundane news, the bona fide guru broadcasts the news from Vaikuntha. Does anyone have a doubt about that? So this is why we are listening to this. Shravanam, Kirtanam starts with reading and listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. Because there is no difference between the sound vibration and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Narottam Das Thakur, one of our acharya, says what? Golo kore prema dan, hari nam sankirtana. The spiritual master also transmits to the disciple the holy name of Krishna, which is none different from Krishna. Nam nam akari bhaujanija sarva saktis. We know that this, the name and the of the Lord has all the potency. And towards that, we have a very nice shloka in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 3, text 52. After I was instructed by Archita Prabhu, I now give the text and the shloka number. What does it say? Nama Sankirtan Haite Sarva Nartanas Sarva Sobodaya Krishna Premera Ulas. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, one can be freed from all undesirable habits. This is the means of awakening all good fortune and initiating the flow of waves of love of Krishna. We don't have to do anything special. We don't have to do anything superficial. It is through the chanting process that we are able to get away with all the bad habits. And as we know that in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada comments that unless you are completely freed from material contamination, you cannot get onto this path. So what is the process? Then Srila Prabhupada continues to say, further, since the living entity is quantitatively different, that relationship is eternally one of service. Because we are quantitatively different, we can only serve. Jiva Sarupa Krishna Nitya Das. We cannot become the master. But what does Srila Prabhupada says? Amritvani. Again, Srila Prabhupada comments, very important point, that we are qualitatively the same. So, since we are qualitatively the same, we are part of Him. So, being part of Him, how do we create the sambandha, the relationship? The relationship cannot be created as master and servant. It can only be one way. Master to servant. But we know that when we are actually the servants, if you are a pure devotee and you are the servant of Lord Krishna, you actually become the master of Krishna. In fact, Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture. He said, look at the complexity we put Krishna in. There is a thief who is trying to rob a house and he's also praying to Krishna. And the person who is living in that house is also praying to Krishna, protect me. So you're putting Krishna into perplexity. Whose wish shall he grant and whose wish shall he not grant? This is the Lord. The Lord becomes our order taker. If you look and read Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the Lord always doing? He is fulfilling the desires of his devotees. How many times do you read in Srimad Bhagavatam that the Lord is actually being served compared to the times the Lord is serving? Even the cover of the Bhagavad Gita shows the Lord as serving, as the chariot driver. And as we know from the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Brahmana who did not know how to read Srimad Bhagavatam, he was embraced by Lord Chaitanya and said that this is the truth, just because he said that I am looking at this picture and how is the Lord becoming the servant. So you see, we are trying to approach it the wrong way. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also cautions us that even though one may have the good fortune to accept a bona fide, highly qualified guru, if one maintains a taste for fruitive activities or mental speculation, one's advancement will be checked. So here is the answer of asking ourselves, why am I not progressing? That even if you have a highly qualified spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells us, but you still have inclination to taste fruitive activities and mental speculations, once advancement is checked. Why do we go to guru? If we are told under the Pancharatik Vidhi that we are meant to serve four times the arti at the feet, two times on the body, three times on the head and seven, we don't start mental speculating and say, why do we do 4, 2, 3? Can I do 2, 3, 4? You have accepted a spiritual master. Don't mental speculate. Because they are nitya siddhas and we are nitya buddhas. We are eternally conditioned. And we know that the spiritual masters are not under the illusory energy, because even Krishna states that very clearly. He says that. Give me a moment here. Let me also pull that up. The Lord says, also in the Bhagavad Gita, here it is. Mahatmanas tu mam partha devim prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva buddhitam avyayam. Bhagavad Gita 9:13, the most confidential knowledge. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of who? The divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of God. Okay? Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So we know that the bona fide spiritual master is under the protection of the divine nature. Devim, prakritim, ashrita. Devim, under the divine. We are under the opposite nature, which is material nature. But the pure devotees, the spiritual masters, the bona fide bhakti vedantas, are not under the material nature. They are under the superior nature. So one has to transcend the modes, including the mode of goodness, and be situated in unalloyed goodness, which is the stage called Suddha Sattva or Vasudeva. As the Lord is unaffected by the modes of material nature, very important point by Srila Prabhupada, so a pure devotee of the Lord is also not affected by the modes of material nature. Very, very important. So we should not think that this is not possible, this is not doable. It is just how we are consciously approaching this. Further it says, Krishna bhakti janma mula hai sadhu sangha. Krishna prema janme teno puna mukya anga. That even after devotional service to the Lord in association with advanced devotees is reawakened. That means your dormant love for Krishna consciousness is reawakened. Association with devotees is still most essential. So it doesn't mean that, okay, now I have attained Krishna prema, I can become, you know, I don't need association of devotees. I can become a Babaji or something. No. It still says that association of devotees is most essential. Srila Prabhupada states that in the Vedas, it is distinctively said that the perfection of life is never to be attained either by voluminous work, accumulation of wealth, or even by increasing of the population. It is only attained through renunciation. I am finishing right at 8:15, and I open it to questions and comments. But my urge to everyone is just read Srila Prabhupada's purpose. Just read Srila Prabhupada's books. Any questions, any comments on that?
So the purport was stressing the association with pure devotees. So I was just wondering, you know, sometimes on traveling Sankirtan, we're just a couple new neophytes traveling around together. And of course we have the association of Prabhupada's books. But, you know, I've traveled with a senior devotee also, and there's a big difference between being with someone physically. So I was just wondering what you can say about that, you know, when we're on traveling sankirtan.
I will only state from the point that what is ISKCON's position statement on Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada will always be our, because there's two gurus, there's Diksha Guru and Siksha Guru. So Srila Prabhupada is always there through Siksha Guru. And Srila Prabhupada did say that I will never die, I will always live in my books. So I see where you're coming from. And that the vapu, the presence is very important. But in my own personal experience, when I read Srila Prabhupada, I feel Srila Prabhupada is with me. Because instructions are more important. When you have the instructions, that gives you the knowledge, that gives you the faith, that gives you the base to go and fight. And Srila Prabhupada is always with us. Krishna is everywhere. Only he's omnipotent. Only we can't see him. But the Lord is always there. And as the Chaita Guru, the well-wisher, the Srila Prabhupada also comments that as the well-wisher, the guru, and Krishna is guiding you from within. So I know devotee association you have said, but even during Srila Prabhupada's early days, there's a lot of disciples here who actually did not see Prabhupada or met Prabhupada very few times. Or were even given initiation by mail. So they really did not have a lot, but their association was through the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. I will let you know, senior devotees elaborate, Maharaj elaborate on it, but this is my take as a second generation devotee, is that whenever I am also traveling for business, which I do travel a lot, you know, for 6 hours I sometimes drive, I'm only listening to Srila Prabhupada's lectures. And I feel that Prabhupada is there with me. He's guiding me. So the Lord is within us. Maybe senior devotees can say more. Mataji has a comment or some suggestion.
We're coming up to the part in the Srimad Bhagavatam now that is discussing Narada Muni's life as a child, the son of a maidservant. And we really don't know a whole lot about that birth that he took that was a result of a curse from Lord Brahma. But that story is told in the Brahma Vivarta Purana. And the story is from Purna Prajna, who translated some of the Puranas in his book called Stories from the Puranas. And Lord Brahma, he had four sons, the four Kumaras. And when he instructed them to take, to become grihastas and go and make progeny and populate the earth, they refused. They wanted to become renunciates. And so Lord Brahma, he had 10 other sons, of which Narada Muni was one of them. And when Lord Brahma instructed those sons to go be fruitful and multiply, Narada Muni spoke up and said, "But why? We want to be renunciates like our brothers. If, you know, what's good for them is good for us, you know, should be also be good for us. Why are you making us drink we want to enjoy the nectar of renunciation. We don't want this poison of material sense enjoyment. Why are you giving us, you know, this instruction? If you want us to take this instruction, then they have to take the instruction also." And he says, just like the moth is attracted to the light of the flame, but ultimately it's death, and just like the fish is attracted to the bait on the hook, and ultimately it's death for the fish. He said, we want to become renunciates. We want to attain, you know, the salvation and the mercy of the Supreme Lord in this life. We don't want to become trapped. And Lord Brahma was very angry at Narada Muni's counter of what he was refusing to obey the instruction. So he cursed Narada Muni to take two births. One as a Gandharva, endowed with beautiful musical abilities, singing abilities. And he cursed him to take another birth as the son of a maidservant. But this son of a maidservant, she wasn't really a maidservant. She was a queen. So Narada Muni, when he heard this curse from his father, he said, "But you're my father, and I'm a good son. Why are you cursing me? I should be, you don't curse good sons, you curse bad sons." And so he counter-cursed Lord Brahma that he would never be worshipped in the material by anyone in this age. And his songs and his prayers and his instructions, he says, would never be remembered. But in this birth, as the son of a maidservant, Narada Muni was born there was a queen, Kalavati, and she was born, she was not able to have children by her husband. He was impotent. And so she went to a sage in the forest to beget a child. And when she went to the sage, he said, well, what's your caste? And she said, well, my husband is a king. He's a cowherd. He's, you know, just like, he has lots of cows, and he's a landowner. He's Maharaj. And he said, well, what is your caste? And she said, I'm a village girl. I'm a Sudra. And so the sage refused to give her a child. And at that moment, there was a Menaka happened to go by in the forest, and the sage was so attracted that he lost his seat, which Kalavati collected, and she impregnated herself and went back to the king and said, okay, now I'm pregnant. We're going to have a son. And he said, well, that's great. And he says, so my time is done here. And so he went off. He gave away all his land and gave all his land and wealth away. And she was like, well, now what do? I haven't got a husband. I haven't got a home. I haven't got any wealth. And so she was about to jump into the fire. And a Brahmin rescued her and said, you can't do this because you're pregnant. And so she went, and the Brahmin took care of her like a daughter. And she lived in his hermitage. And she gave birth to the little boy, and the little boy was like schooled in all of the Vedas, and he drew pictures of Krishna in the sand and instructed his friends. And of course, this was Narada Muni. He was born during a drought, and when the drought broke, they named him Narada. The drought it rained when he was born, so he was given the name Narada. But also the sage in the forest that whom he was born from his seed, he was this personality. His name was also Nara. So this is the story of how Narada Muni became Narada Muni, which we don't really hear about this part. We always hear that he was the son of a maidservant.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam, class key.